of faith through baptism. If you have never yet professed personal faith in Jesus Christ and then done so by way of proclamation in the waters of baptism, please approach us. We would love to help you with this and get you started on that path. One announcement today. We've been having to, we've cut off registration to stay within our limits according to the Ontario government. And so we are starting a second service. So starting on October the 4th, we are going to be having two services. One will be at 9, one will be at 11, so that we'll have the hour in between to clean up the church and to do the fogging and do all of those things to make sure we're in compliance. So you're going to need to register for the right service time. The building will need to be sanitized between the services, so first service needs to leave the building promptly. We're going to hold off on children's ministry for a while. We want to make sure that that's in place. We want to see what's going on with the schools. But rest assured that we're doing this so that all of you can be safe and all of you can be confident in that. So just wanted to encourage you with that. Let's take a moment and pray. Our Father, today we pray that you would continue to give us grace during these difficult days. Would you use us as ministers of your goodness and your grace to those around us? God, we pray that you would help us to guard our hearts, because in the days in which we live, it is so easy to fall into to traps and to detours that take us where you don't want us to go. So we pray that during these days that are uncertain all around us, and seem to be changing all the time, new regulations, new government announcements. Lord, we pray that we would grow in our trust of you. Because ultimately we recognize that you could shut this down in a moment, or you could cause us to persevere through it, through the long haul. And I guess, Lord, whichever one that is, I pray that our hearts will learn to trust you. Today we continue to pray for our church family. We continue to pray for Linda and for Don. We pray that you would give them grace and continued healing mercy. And we pray for Kathy and for continued strength in her life during these times of difficulty. We pray for our friends and our neighbors and our community. We pray for Ethan and some of the good news that he and his family have been hearing and experiencing. We pray that they would continue to be full of confidence and full of trust, and that we would continue to be praying. Lord, we thank you for the work that you've done in Carissa's life, and thank you for the successful surgery, and continue to look after her and Steve and the family. We pray for Bevan and Janelle, and during these difficult days of recovery and recuperation, give him strength. Thank you how you've looked after Pierce and have brought him back to a good measure of health. I commit both Amy and Graham into your care. And now, Lord, as we look into your word, we pray that you would instruct us and motivate us and draw us closer to you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Guarding the heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, that's where we're going to spend our time this morning. Proverbs 4:23 in the New International Version reads, "Above all else, guard your heart." That's the phrase we're going to be parked on this morning. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The English Standard Version, little different, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." The New Living Translation says, guard your heart above all else. The New American Standard says, watch over your heart with all diligence. And the Message Translation says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. The translations vary slightly. Meaning is pretty much the same. Your heart, you got to guard it. It's important. It's vital. You need to guard your heart. What is the heart? Summary. We've sort of looked at that last week and tried to look at a biblical overview of what the heart is. Philip Ryken says that the heart is the center of the inner spiritual life. So in the Bible, about 800 times, talks about the heart. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Guard your heart above all else. Above all else, guard your heart. It's about guarding that inner center of your inner spiritual life. Wayne Grudem says that the heart includes all of your deepest moral and spiritual convictions, along with your feelings and emotions, especially your deepest moral and spiritual convictions in relation to God. The inward spiritual and moral life that you have will determine the course of your life and ministry, whether it be a life that knows God's favor and blessing or not. In Proverbs, when the writer speaks of the heart, he's speaking of the inner life. He's talking about the inner life of the soul. That's the heart. The heart stands for the whole person. So ultimately, heart and person really are synonymous. So when the writer says, above all else, guard your heart, he's saying, guard that part of you that is in communication and in communion and in connection with God. See, folks, above all else, guard your heart. This is our active duty. God calls us to this. When you become a Christian, you are given a new heart. According to Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27, he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, that obstinate, closed-down hardness of heart. I'm going to take that from you, and I'm going to give to you a heart of flesh, a heart that's pliable and responsive. And I will put my spirit in you. This is the new covenant that is reiterated for the New Testament church in the book of Hebrews twice. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. See, this new heart is a heart that loves God. It's a heart that trusts God. This is the essence of what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's that new heart. It's that change that has taken place. Darcy testified to it today. It's a reception of the gospel, of a recognition of our sinfulness and our separation from God and the fact that Christ paid the penalty for us. And that reception of that grace and of that gospel is the avenue by which we receive the new heart, that new sense of person, that new creation. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do, get this, everything you do flows from it. I want to show you how much of a priority that is. Look at what the text reads. Above all else. Above all else, guard your heart. Think for a moment. Think about what you guard. Think about what it is that you protect. What is it you put a lock on? What is it you want to keep from thieves and thugs? What is it you want to keep safe? The Greeks translated the Old Testament into what was called the Septuagint. And when the Septuagint is translated into English, it reads something like this: with complete guarding, guard your heart. Now, the original language of the Old Testament was Hebrew. The Hebrew text is incredibly forceful. It says, more than all guarding, guard your heart. More than or above all guarding, guard your heart. More importantly than you guard anything else, guard your heart. That's what Proverbs 4:23 is telling us. More than you guard anything else, guard your heart. Because everything you do flows from it. Most of you, when you went to bed last night, if your car is outside, you locked it, didn't you? Most of you, when you leave your house, you make sure that the door is locked. You lock away your valuables. Maybe some of you have a home safe and you put your valuables in a safe. And some of you think, well, I've got to protect my kids, and that's a good thing. And we wear masks in stores because we want to protect those around us, and we want to keep people safe. And wherever you are on the whole mask question, the point of the matter is masks are there because to keep us safe. Take a moment and think about that for a moment. Proverbs says, above all, you're guarding. Above all, you're protecting. Above all, you're watching. More than all, you're guarding. More than all, you're watching. More than all, you're protecting. He says this: guard your heart. Thursday night in Lucan is an exciting night in the township. It's garbage night. You put the garbage out. It's a very exciting night. You see people taking their garbage out to the street, and then you see them putting their locks on the garbage. And then you see them chaining them so that nobody can take them away, right? Nah, that never happens. I don't lock my garbage. I don't put a lock on it. I don't put a chain on it. And frankly, if any of you want to come and steal my garbage on Thursday night into Friday morning, go right ahead. I really don't care. We don't guard garbage. We really don't. We don't guard something that has no value. Proverbs says, above all else, above all guarding, above all guarding, guard your heart. I've been reading a really interesting little book. It's called Keeping the Heart. It's by an old Puritan, lived from 1627 to 1691. He wrote about 115 pages on one verse. 115 pages on one verse. You think I'm long-winded. Only Puritans can do that. And he says this: the greatest difficulty in conversion is to win the heart to God. The greatest difficulty after conversion is to keep the heart with God. It's the fight that we're all involved in. By keeping the heart, Flavel continues, by keeping this heart, understand the diligent and the constant use of all holy means to preserve the soul from sin and to maintain its sweet and free communion with God. That's what he's talking about. Talking about guarding that intimate, close, personal relationship with God. And he says, the hardest, most difficult, thing in conversion is to win the heart to God. That's the work of regeneration. That's difficult, and it's a good thing that's God's work, because I can't do it. And the greatest difficulty after conversion is to keep the heart with God. That's the process of guarding the heart, of guarding it. He goes on to say this: the manner of performing it is with all diligence. The Hebrew is very emphatic. Keeping with all keeping, or keep, and set double guards. This vehemence of expression with which the duty is urged plainly implies how difficult it is to keep our hearts and how dangerous it is to neglect them. That's John Flavel. In 1 Samuel 16:7, God said to Samuel this: man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks where? God looks on the heart. The primary focus of the Lord's attention in your life and mine is the heart. That's where God focuses his attention. Listen again to John Flavel. The keeping and right managing of the heart in every condition is one great business of a Christian life. That's what he says is the one duty that we need to be involved in. The managing and keeping of the heart in absolutely every condition. You mean in a pandemic? Oh yeah. You mean when tempers tend to get a little short at Costco? Yeah. You mean when we don't want to follow these regulations one more minute? Yep. We got to manage and we got to protect and we got to guard our heart every day. Absolutely every day. Because that's the primary focus of the Lord's attention. It's on our heart. He's looking at it. Puritans had such a great way of saying things. It took them about 20 pages to say what you and I could probably say in a half a paragraph, but they did such great things, and they had such cool names. Now, I have a name to suggest to anybody that might have upcoming kids or grandkids. Here it is: Octavius Winslow. All right? The first one who chooses that name for a new child gets a brand new book or gets a brand new something from me. In one of his writings, it's called Personal Declension and the Revival of Religion in the Soul. Listen to what he says. If there is one condition more humbling than another to a spiritually minded believer, it is that after all God has done for him, after all the rich displays of his grace, the patience, the tenderness of his instruction, the repeated discipline of his covenant, the tokens of love received and the lessons experienced, learned, that there should still exist in the heart a principle, the tendency of which is to secret, perpetual, and alarming departure from God. That's what's going on in our heart. That's why the struggle is so great. After all that God has done for us as Christian people, as Christian leaders, as servants, as missionaries, as pastors, as men, as women, after all that he has done for us, Octavius Winslow says that there still exists in our heart a pulling away from God, a secret, a perpetual movement away from him that is alarming. That's what he says. That's why it's so important for us to guard the heart, to guard it, because our tendency is to move away. Anybody ever read anything by John Bunyan? John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress, but John Bunyan also wrote The Holy War. A little bit less famous than Pilgrim's Progress, but incredibly powerful. In it, he describes the soul of the believer, the life of the believer, the heart of the believer, as a walled city, surrounded by enemies. Now, here's what he says in his story. He says, outside of that walled city, outside of your heart, outside of your life, there are enemies that need to be resisted. And then he says, inside of that city, inside of those walls, inside of our heart, there are traitors that need to be tracked down and exposed. That's the picture of the spiritual life. Outside of us, there are enemies that need to be resisted. Inside of us, there are traitors that need to be tracked down and exposed. Our heart is just like that. It needs constant, diligent guarding, constant, diligent defending against the enemies outside, the world, the devil outside, and the traitors hidden deep within our own flesh. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Do you see how important this is? He's not saying other things aren't important. He's saying that above all guarding, more than all guarding, guard your heart. Because everything you do flows from it. Well, we just kind of looked at a warfare image. Let's use another image. Anybody ever heard the name Stradivarius? Stradivarius is a violin, actually a whole bunch of musical instruments. They made cellos, and don't think they made any banjos, but they definitely made, they made cellos, and they made violas, and they made violins. The violins were probably the most famous. The family, the Stradivari family, Antonio Stradivari from Italy, they only made 960 violins. Of which I think 450 survived. And he died in 1737. His family carried on a bit of his work for a while, but there are still Stradivarius violins that are out there. And they are used mostly for these major orchestras, these major symphonies, and people actually get to play these violins. Pretty cool. How many of you would like to? I wouldn't even like to touch one. I'd probably break it. The market value of a Stradivarius violin. Can anybody give me a guess? $16 million for a violin. I'm sorry. I'll buy the CD. Okay? Now, you would think a violin of that quality and cost would stay in tune. Now, by the way, apparently the sound of a Stradivarius violin is actually unequaled and unparalleled worldwide. But you'd think, one would think anyway, that those violins would stay in tune. Nope. Every time you open the case, guess what you got to do? Every time you open the case, you got to tune it. At that price, it should tune itself. Nope. Every time. You got to take it out. No instrument really stays perpetually tuned, whether it's a Stradivarius violin, a Les Paul guitar, or a Rickenbacker bass. They do not stay in tune. They've got to be tuned. Our hearts are like that. Did you know that? Our hearts are a lot like a violin. They're a lot like a Stradivarius violin. They're a whole lot more valuable, though. And it doesn't take much for them to get out of tune. My heart can get out of tune pretty quickly. I know yours can, too. It constantly is falling out of tune. And if we don't keep it in tune, we'll be out of sync with our conductor. That's why we are told to, above all else, guard our hearts. When our hearts are out of tune with God, our sound will be out of tune with Him. Hang on, a little bit more than that. When our hearts are out of tune with God, our sound will be offensive to Him. That's why it's so important for us to guard our heart, to guard our heart like a walled city, like an expensive violin that needs to be tuned every day. We need to be kept in tune. Again, John Flavel. For though grace has, in a great measure, rectified the soul and given it a habitual heavenly temper, yet sin often discomposes it again. Oh boy, we could put that on a tattoo, couldn't we? I want to read that again because that is so good. For though grace has, in great measure, rectified the soul and given it a habitual heavenly temper, yet sin often discomposes it again, so that even a gracious heart is like a musical instrument, which though it be exactly tuned, a smaller matter brings it out of tune again. Yea, hang it aside but a little, and it will need settling again before another lesson can be played upon it. To keep the heart, then, is carefully to preserve it from sin, which disorders it, and maintain that spiritual frame which fits it for a life of communion with God. Above all else, guard your heart, because it gets so easily out of tune. So easily out of tune. All right. That second part of the verse we're going to look at next week or the week after. Right now we're going to pause and we're going to look at five steps. How to guard our heart. But today we're only going to get to one of them, okay? So how do we guard our heart? Number one, we watch. We watch. I like the New American Standard translation of this verse. Watch over your heart with all diligence. That's the exhortation of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, to each and every one of us. Watch or guard our heart. Watch over, guard over our heart. Do you understand the similarity between those two words, don't you? That's what a guard does. Do you know what another name for a security guard is at a warehouse? A night watchman. That's what we do. That's what we do with our walk with God. That's what we do with our lives. That's what we do with our hearts. The wise Christian, I read this last week, studies both his heart and his Bible. He does both. You need to become a student of your Bible so that you know what God says. And then you need to be a student of yourself so that you know how best to apply what God says to your life. Again, John Flavel, frequent observation of the frame of the heart. The heart can never be kept until its case be examined and understood. You can't keep your heart unless you first examine it and understand it. You need to become an expert on you, on your heart. No one can do it better, although some think they can. And you know who they are, don't you? The one that knows what you're thinking. I know what you're really thinking. I know what you really mean. No, you don't. Because very few people actually know what's going on inside of us, except us. Well, God too. You need to become an expert on your own heart. You need to become an expert on what's going on in you. That's how you That's how you guard your heart. Listen to what Jesus said, Matthew 26. Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. What are we to watch? Well, we're to watch ourselves. We're to watch what's going on in our lives. We're to watch what God is doing. We're to guard our heart. We're to watch our hearts above all else. Watch over our hearts, because it's going to determine whatever, everything we do. Everything we do is going to flow from it. 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul said to young Timothy two things. He said, watch your life and your doctrine closely, in that order. He said, watch over your life, watch over your teaching. Don't lose either of them, because they're both important. Listen to what Paul said to the elders in Ephesus, Acts chapter 20. In the city of Miletus, he said this, watch yourselves and the flock. Notice the order. Watch yourself. Watch the flock. Watch over your heart with all diligence. If you want to guard your heart, you got to watch. You got to be alert. How do we do that? It's really kind of like a car dashboard. Think about it. Think about watching your heart kind of like a car dashboard. For the dashboard of a car, you basically have all the information you need, right? You have your fuel amount, so you have how much is in the tank. You have your speed, how fast you're going. Does anybody here even know what a tachometer is? A lot of you probably do. It's the revolutions per minute of your engine. It has your engine temperature on there. That's the H and the C over here, just in case you missed that one. And then it's got warning lights. How well do you know your dashboard? I remember we had a van. I told this one time before. We had a van back in Illinois. Kept having one of those check engine lights coming on. And so we kept bringing it to the mechanic. I think we brought it to him twice. And he was kind of getting probably a little irritated with us because we didn't know how to fix it. He was the mechanic. He didn't know how to fix it either. So I want to tell you how he fixed it. Black electrical tape. He did. He didn't tell us. He just said, it's all taken care of. And we noticed one afternoon when it was a little warm, oh, what's that? And took a little nail and scraped that out. The guy put black electrical tape over the warning sign. Any of those warning lights coming up? Because really, our heart a lot is like this. Are any of these warning lights coming up? Fear, pride, greed, selfishness, resentment, bitterness, anger, lust, hard thoughts about God. Those are warning lights. Coldness toward worship, apathy toward the Bible, lack of joy in the gospel. Any of those warning lights popping up? Because our heart is a lot like that dashboard in front of us. It's giving us warning lights to those impulses that have a tendency to secret, perpetual, and alarming departure from God. I got something else on my dashboard. It's somewhat cool, but it's also somewhat annoying. It's a lane departure warning. So if you're in a lane and you have to switch lanes, and if it's like at early in the morning and there's nobody there, and you might not put your blinker on, it may have happened once or twice, it starts this incessant beeping when you're crossing over a lane. It thinks you're going to sleep. It's trying to wake you up. It's trying to alert you to a danger that you're going somewhere where you shouldn't be going. And it's so easy just to ignore those lane departure warnings. It's so easy to ignore those low fuel warnings. It's so easy to ignore that internal temperature warning. It's often easy to ignore that speed or that tachometer warning when we're starting to push things into the red. And then the red and blue come behind us. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. John Calvin once said that all the wisdom we need in the world, he says, are two things: a knowledge of God and a knowledge of ourselves. Are you guarding your heart? A.W. Pink said, for the Christian to keep his heart means for him to pay close attention to the direction in which his affections are moving, to discover whether the things of the world are gaining a firmer and a fuller hold over him, or whether they are increasingly losing their charm. Watch for the warning lights, folks. Watch. Guard your heart. Watch for the warning lights. Let me give you another example here, another image. Warning lights are there to remind us of danger. The momentum of sin in our lives starts here. And it is like a rolling stone. It really is. Not the band, but the rock that is rolling. You see this poor guy trying to get out of the way of it. Those emotions, those drives of the heart, those inclinations, at the top of the hill, they're actually pretty easy to stop. It's actually pretty easy to stop that rock at the top of the hill, isn't it? If you get about halfway down that hill, you better not get in front of it, because it's not stopping for you. Watch the warning lights. Above all else, guard your heart. And this guarding begins with just watching, becoming a student of yourself. You can be sure of one thing when you see someone whose life has crashed and burned, and they've walked away from their faith, and they've stepped away from the church, and they want nothing more to do with God. You can be rest assured of one thing: it did not happen overnight. It doesn't happen by explosion, it happens by erosion. It happens when that stone at the top of the hill is not stopped there. It's allowed to start the process of rolling. You see someone that has walked away, and it began with a long history of not guarding the heart and ignoring the warning lights. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Let me tell you a story about a man named Robert. Robert was from England. He lived there from the year 1735 to 1790. Robert was actually part of a gang of street thugs. That's who they were. And one afternoon they wanted to go and they wanted to rile up and make fun of those crazy Methodists, and I quote. And what he did was he actually went and went into a church meeting with George Whitefield. Robert Robinson heard the gospel powerfully and clearly, and he was converted. He was converted powerfully. And he actually became a minister in those days, and he became a songwriter. You may recognize one of his songs. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. The story is told a number of years later. Robert Robinson had kind of seriously walked away from his faith. And he was sitting on a stagecoach, modern day train or bus. And a lady was sitting in that stage car, and she began singing that song. And Robert Robinson began to cry. And she looked over at him and you know, wondered why it is that he was crying, and was she being offensive to him. And here's what he said: Madam, I am the poor, unhappy man who wrote that hymn so many years ago, and I would give a thousand worlds if I had them to enjoy the joy I had when I first penned them. You know what happened during those years? Robert Robinson failed to guard his heart. We're going to close today, and we're going to watch and listen to that song performed. I'm going to pray now, and then I'll meet you outside, but that's going to be our benediction for today. Father, we pray today that we would know what it is to, above all else, to guard our heart, knowing that everything we do flows from it. Amen. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it.